Hello and welcome to SearchDataManagement.com. My name is Jeff Kelly and I'm the news editor. While managing data management software and applications rightly garnered significant attention, there's another side to the data management coin. Just as important as the technology, data management technical staff must also be managed properly to ensure projects are completed on time, on budget, and live up to expectations of end users. From maintaining open lines of communication to delegating responsibilities and defining roles, managing technical data management staff is a complex job. To help data management leaders better manage their staffs, SearchDataManagement.com is speaking with Baseline Consulting's Dave Gilbert today to get his advice for tackling this important job. But first, here's a little bit more on Dave's background. He has over 20 years of IT system and data warehouse project management experience, deploying systems for both Global 1000 and smaller e-business clients domestically and abroad. He has assembled and led multinational development teams to deliver complex, scalable analytic technologies. Well, to start, Dave, could you define what we mean when we say technical data management staff? Are we talking about the IT side as opposed to the business side of the staff?
Historically, Jeff, I think, yes, you're right. The lines have been much more clear when discussing technical data management in the past. And really, the roles that we've been talking about are those required for analysis and management of corporate data assets. The things like data architects, data analysts, data modelers, database administrators, ETL architects and developers are really the traditional roles that have been out there. But there's been an evolution in IT since IT has become much more business focused, and it's been recognized that controlling the availability and performance of the data structures is not really sufficient for the needs of the business. And through this evolution, some new roles have taken front stage, and the roles have been understood to really push the business forward in their usage of the data. Roles such as BI architects, data stewards, metadata coordinators, information analysts, requirements analysts, and subject area experts within the IT organization have a much broader view of what the business needs are, not just the technical staff that we've typically talked about in the past. And these roles really are the bridge between business and IT and how that vocabulary bridge is built. They're the people that are responsible to know both the what and why of the business questions, as well as the how of the technology and the tools that are going to answer those questions. So it's a much more evolved IT organization and a much broader definition of data management.
So what are the technical staff's main responsibilities when it comes to data management, and how are those roles typically delegated?
You know, Jeff, we find that a well-defined BI lifecycle that is supported by processes that help each of the staff members understand their role and stay in a well-defined box is the most effective way to roll out BI capabilities. And because the breadth of the solutions are so much more complex than they used to be, thinking that any one individual can span the entire life cycle is really just not a reasonable expectation. So having a well-formed BI life cycle in place allows each of these resources to understand which piece of the solution they're responsible for delivering, what is upstream of them and what is downstream, what they have to produce. The added advantage of putting in a well-formed BI life cycle like this is that it protects organizations from staff turnover. You have a much wider array of people who understand each of the BI capabilities that are being built. And so as staff turns over, moves on to other responsibilities, you don't have this net knowledge transfer that has to happen to a new team to support that capability. Typically, a BI lifecycle has seven primary buckets that are fairly well-defined and pretty well-accepted across the industry. There's the intake process that really focuses on portfolio management, prioritization, and scoping of capabilities that the business is asking for. You have the requirements that produce detailed business data and functional requirements. The design phase that looks at logical and physical database design, metadata collection and creation, source-to-target mapping, ETL design, data delivery design, things of that nature. The development phase, which really is your traditional data model validation and instantiation, ETL coding, capacity planning, all of the typical IT-centric functions that we're used to. Data delivery, which really has an eye towards report generation and cube generation, how the business is really going to interact with that data infrastructure we're producing, provisioning of data to external sources or applications, and really the usage and access controls around that data infrastructure. And then moving into your typical testing and acceptance, user acceptance, environment tuning environment, and then finally deployment. So if you can arrange your staff in such a way that they have clear articulation of what their roles and responsibilities are in each of those seven phases of the life cycle, you can produce an environment where BI capabilities have a throughput through that life cycle and deliver to the business pretty effectively.
Kind of moving on, in today's really superheated business environment, where obviously first to market with new offerings is critical, but then you've also got kind of the ongoing skepticism of IT's ability to keep up. How does a technical manager, team manager, really prove their value?
That's a great question, and it's interesting to me, Jeff. The phase in the BI life cycle that is most often overlooked or de-emphasized is really the intake process. And this is truly where IT and business alignment needs to happen. And IT organizations need to understand what the priorities and the vision of the business is, where they're trying to take their business models. And at the same time, the business needs to understand what the capabilities and throughput of the IT organization are so that we're all assured that we can meet those business needs. What I think is typically a difficult exercise within that is everything has a number one priority, right? So it's hard to sometimes differentiate between the top 10 priorities of the business, and also an understanding by the business of what their data capabilities truly are. I think a tool such as a BI portfolio, which lays out the BI initiatives and groups efforts that are similar across a data space, so you're looking at BI capabilities that use similar types of data, looking at the technical complexity of delivering that capability as well as the business priority, can establish a roadmap that helps articulate to both the business and IT really which efforts are we going to address first. It's important to engage both IT and business in that discussion because, as I'm sure you can clearly see, prioritizing a BI capability very high where IT knows there's perhaps data quality issues in that subject area or even worse, maybe no business process to support the collection of that data at all or ambiguous definitions of data elements across different business lines, that doesn't really set IT up for success because we can move forward, build data infrastructure, provision data for those capabilities, and it has absolutely no use to the business. So really, it's this partnership that we have to foster, and IT needs to come out of the ivory tower, so to speak, and have those constructive dialogues with the business, not just be reactive order takers, but align with the business strategy and where people are trying to take the business model moving forward. I think that's really where this disconnect has happened traditionally and why IT has lost the confidence of the business is traditionally because of not having some of these more evolved roles that we talked about earlier that understand the business process as well as IT capability. We haven't always delivered to the business what they're really asking for. I think in the new models, that alignment is becoming much more clear. Those evolved roles are taking a front seat. They've always sort of been there, but they've been de-emphasized. So now we're really having meaningful conversations and a true partnership.
So it's certainly agreed that kind of the alignment and focus around business priorities is a key. But when those priorities are often, you know, ever-changing, how do you keep the team, the technical team, kind of focused?
Right. Yeah, I think that a trap that many technical teams tend to fall into is that we're always looking for the quote-unquote perfect solution. And what we lose sight of is that oftentimes the best solution is the solution that delivers capabilities to the business in the timeframes that they're looking for. Not necessarily the ultimate, perfect, most elegant solution, but the one that meets the business needs quickly. And I think part of the problem from traditional technical perspective is that we're all really trained as engineers. We think like engineers. There's only one correct solution for any given problem set. And that all is fine and good if you're an engineer that's designing a building or a bridge, and if something falls down, people get killed. But realistically, in a business intelligence environment, our role is to really provide directionality to the business. They don't need the exact number of widgets that were produced last month. What they really need to know is, did we produce more or less widgets last month than we did the previous month or the previous quarter or the previous year? And how do we align our business processes to that answer? And I think that we try to come up with the perfect solution and the perfectly clean data. And what we need to start realizing is that the way, you know, people with MBO training think is more about directionality. And a lot of times those answers are good enough, even without the perfect data. It just needs to be clean enough. The time I think that this changing priority thing seems to happen to IT, and when we seem to lose the focus of the business, is when we're not providing capabilities quickly enough to meet their ever-changing needs. And oftentimes that's when we see the business create their own in-house IT, shadow IT organizations, and start saying things like, IT's not responsive enough. We can't get what we need from IT as quickly as we need it. So as IT professionals, we really need a couple of things. We need to understand at a high level what the true business strategy is, where they're trying to move to. And then as IT managers, we need to embrace the creativity of our teams and understand that out-of-the-box thinking and coming up with new solutions that are not traditional and not perfect are okay. I mean, we have to keep in mind that those solutions need to be manageable and extensible and all of those traditional capabilities that we've always built into our systems, but the time of having religious wars about the right platforms or doing over analysis, it has no place in today's nimble business environment.
So when assembling a team to deliver on kind of strategic business initiatives, what do you look for to make the team function optimally?
Jeff, I think this is really the hardest part of managing a technical team today. This is one of those cases where a team of good performers that complement each other and correct for each other's weaknesses is actually far better than a team of superstars. And really what I mean by that is In today's teams where, you know, communication with the business and partnership with the business is so much more important than it used to be, you need soft skills, if you will, within your team, you know, great communication skills, individuals with creativity and vision, as well as individuals with rigor and discipline, individuals that are willing to challenge the prevailing way of thinking and having that creativity, but being willing to align to the group's decision once that's being made, individuals that can address conflict constructively, ones that are willing to lead when leadership is needed, but at the same time be willing to follow when somebody else in the team has more experience in a particular area. And it's really difficult to try to find single individuals that have all of those capabilities and those soft skills. I mean, the teams have become much more than just the sum of their technical parts. It's a organism, an ecosystem that has to function to correct for each of the individual's strengths and weaknesses. And really putting together a team that can do that is a difficult challenge. I think that the other part that becomes difficult is taking the egos out of the team and allowing the team to function as a cohesive unit, not as a bunch of individual performers looking for the glory, if you will.
So that kind of leads to the next question. So what are the biggest challenges you see in managing technical teams?
Yeah, I think many times technical teams are their own worst enemies in a way. Technicians, by and large, are introverts, right? And so having sort of these storming and norming conversations within a team, it's very easy for the strongest individuals in that team to always come through with a solution. But quite frankly, some of your most creative ideas and the things that can really propel things forward come from the quietest people in the team. So as managers, it's our responsibility to create an environment where the entire team feels invited. It's kind of a safe place to have conversations and allow each of the individual team members to weigh in on how they think a problem should be solved. And then align the team around that solution once it's been defined. And this is a transition point that I think is very difficult to manage through, where the technical folks typically also have strong egos. And so to bring a team together that align around a common cause, put aside their personal opinion of the best way to solve a problem once that solution has been defined and pulled together as a team with all of your energy, it takes a certain level of maturity within the team. And I think as managers, it's our responsibility to bring that maturity out in the individuals and get the team working together synergistically. I think another trap that technical teams typically fall into is this need to prove our brilliance, is a term I typically use. And what I mean there is there's a propensity to make things sound more complex than we have to. There's this need for people to recognize how hard we're working and how great of a solution we're providing to them. And I think sometimes we fall into that trap of thinking, if we don't make this sound really hard and really complex, people won't appreciate what we're doing for them. But really, using that kind of vocabulary and making things sound harder than we have to make them sound doesn't do anything for fostering this partnership and relationship between IT and the business.
And finally, how should a technical resource's performance be measured to ensure continued alignment with the organization, and how should goals be set?
Goal setting is very, very important, as always. And it's interesting to me, every few years there seems to be a new fad approach for how to measure teams, you know, whether it's CLEAR or SMART or MBOs. I mean, there's many, many different ways. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, all of the basic principles still apply. We need to set expectations and communicate with our staff what those expectations are. We need to then measure them against those expectations on a very frequent basis, and communicate back to them where they're falling short or where they're meeting our expectations very well, and set constant course corrections. Keep people focused on what's important to the business. I think motivating a technical team is really no different than motivating teams in other areas. They're looking basically for the same things. They're looking for respect from the organization. They're looking for meaningful challenges that give them the feeling that their work is useful to people. They're looking for opportunities for personal growth and really a feeling of belonging to a team. I think that's the same whether you're talking about technical resources or any other resources in other areas. I think the difference here is that technical resources are by and large analytical and not emotional people. So the way that you communicate what those goals are and the way you communicate how you're going to be measuring those goals needs to really talk to the analyst in our teams, right? And it needs to be very clear where the connection is between how you're measuring them and why you're measuring them on a particular metric aligns with what the business needs and how we're going to move forward as an organization. I don't think that's changed, whether we call it by a name like SMART goals or CLEAR or MBOs. I think really the communication, constant communication and course correction is the most important thing that we can do for our teams.
Great. Well, that was some good advice. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dave.
Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate the time to talk to you.